we'll get started. Can everyone
hands
hear
up
me?
If you can't hear us?
Can you, hear us? Someone respond. Yep, you can hear? Cool. Yes. Excellent. All right. We'll kick off. Good morning. Thank you for coming. Welcome to TechEd 2014. My name's Ben Fletcher. I'm from Microsoft. I'm a technical solutions specialist focusing on Office 365. And we're very lucky today to have the esteemed company of someone. If you've ever done anything in 365 Pro Plus or you've been to Microsoft.com/garage, we have Yoni Kirsch.
Thanks, I'm flattered. My name's Yoni Kirsch from Fast Track Technology. And can you hear us okay? Everyone can hear us, cool. My job is to talk to people about Office Pro Plus and share technical information about it as well. So yeah, really excited to be here. Looking forward to getting into the session.
Excellent. All right. So I think there's a thing with the channels on the devices that you're using. If you tap it, it should lock into the right channel.
Yep.
If you have
now, of course, if anyone hasn't done that, they won't be able to hear you right now.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah. So that could be a challenge. So we'll kick right on. Get on with it, since I think the keynote went a little bit long. So fundamentally. Go back. So we're here to talk about Office 365 Pro Plus. So quick show of hands, how many people here is 365 Pro Plus new to them? Excellent.
Cool.
Excellent.
Hands up if you're not sure if it's new to you or not. We'll get at that.
So today we're going to be talking about mainly matters of deployment. We'll start off with a bit of background. Just where'd it come from, and predominantly why we're doing what we're doing. And then we'll move into sort of matters of deployment around the 365 Pro Plus and why it's the way forward. So fundamentally, when we're talking about Office 365 Pro Plus, the technology that we're talking about is called Click2Run. So Click2Run being the name of the technology that we're using for deployment. So fundamentally, 365 Pro Plus has borrowed some technology from AtV in order to streamline the deployment. So the fundamental question is, why have we done this? So there's a bit of background to this, but you may have noticed, if you've been in the IT industry for longer than 6 months, things change quickly. Things change all the time. And fundamentally, the way people use IT, the way people use technology, the way people want to use Office has changed. And the way that we need to service that need has had to adapt.
Changed out.
Well, fundamentally, I guess, another question. How many people here would use two or more devices per day when they're doing any sort of collaboration? Yeah. So for those on the recording, that's pretty much everyone. So how many three or more? I mean, I've got a PC, a tablet, Surface, and a phone. So more and more devices. People want Office on their devices. Whatever device they happen to use.
And there's a whole another element to this as well, is that if you look at the way that the Microsoft Office or productivity platform is going, it's changed significantly in the last few years. So whereas previously a lot of the applications inside the Office suite were isolated applications, they were kind of islands to themselves. If you're working on a spreadsheet, you're working on a document, you're working on a presentation, you're probably working on them by yourself. Okay, maybe they were stored on a network share somewhere, but essentially they were a standalone client application that had no other dependencies on external services. The first time we really saw that shift was with Exchange or with Outlook. So, Exchange Server came along and it made Outlook a client-server dependency. Outlook is really at its best with Exchange, and that's progressed as well. So if we look through the rest of the stack, we know now that SharePoint has changed that landscape for the other applications like Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. Whereas previously you just worked on your documents and your spreadsheets in isolation, now they really become part of a cloud-based or a client-server-based environment.
Hmm. So one of the biggest shifts in this area is, to use the term, bring your own device. So more and more organizations are looking at, well, how do I give a corporate-issued device, but also want to use my own? And that happens in a lot of organizations. How do we, Microsoft, provide a deployment technology that's going to cover your traditional enterprise controls, standard operating environment, image type situation, as well as, okay, we've got these people going to bring their own device. So basically, we need to find a technology that's going to be able to service both in a way that's actually suitable.
Whilst also being dynamic enough to keep up to date with the changes that are coming in the rest of the platform. So we make a change inside SharePoint Online, we need to affect some new versions of the local applications inside Office. How can we, with Office 365, it's really easy to make the server-side changes. We just roll the new build out across the SharePoint farm inside Office 365 and we're ready. How do we then have a dynamic and easy way of distributing those new code changes through to the end client devices?
That's a really good point, because one of our goals is that we want everyone to be on the latest version of Office. Now, if anyone has ever here done an Office upgrade, presuming a fair few would have, it's not usually a pleasant experience. So again, change of technology in order to enable this to happen so that it is almost seamless.
It's definitely not a simple experience.
No.
The ironic thing really is that if we were just talking about all the different devices that we support Office on, and I think the ironic thing is that if you look at those, the newer players in that space, i.e. the tablets and the phones, are actually the easiest to update.
Mm.
We've got a new build of the Office apps on Windows Phone. We want to update them, or on Android or on iOS. All we do is we publish a new version of that app to the respective app stores, and boom. Within a matter of days, weeks, whatever, those builds kind of automatically disseminate themselves. I come in and I turn on my phone in the morning and there's an update and then I install it and that's the end of it, right? If only it were that simple for Office.
And that's why we're here. So fundamentally, how do we get that sort of experience on a PC? So essentially, this is a tale of two packages, where we've come from and where we're going. I want to reiterate that point, where we're going. So coming to this session is an excellent choice. Because if you haven't been exposed to this in the past, this is the future of Office. So make no mistake, this is where Office is going. So it's probably the right time to sort of start coming up to speed with this stuff. So fundamentally, in the past, we've had the MSI package for deploying Office, and everyone probably understands that. Kind of understand that it's basically you copy the files into local machine, does its thing, does its registry changes, installs modules, blah, 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 and there you go. With Click to Run, we're using the streaming component of AppV. It's not full AppV, just to put it out there, but basically borrowed some technology to make a more efficient process to install Office on the end device. It's much closer to a file copy now than it has ever been in terms of actually deploying Office. Once it's copied, it's ready to go, which is kind of what you want.
So hang on, Ben. So you were just saying that we base this on AppV. Now that rings a bell for me. Previously with Office 2010, there was a scenario where we might use AppV to sequence up Office to allow it to run side by side with other versions of Office. Now, a lot of the enterprise customers that we did that for reported that a bunch of their add-ins and plugins weren't working because AppV was isolating them. Does that mean the same is going to happen with Pro Plus?
Absolutely not.
Right.
So it's borrowing some of the AppV technology for deployment.
Yep.
But in terms of the fact that it is still a local application that's installed on your PC. In fact, a lot of effort has gone to make sure that add-ins and plugins that work with Office 2013 will work with Office 365 Pro Plus as well. So it's about trying to get the deployment quicker, faster, more efficient.
So when you say you've borrowed a little bit, I guess the key there to remember, guys, is that the bit that has been borrowed is the bit that allows us to isolate Office from other versions of Office, but not from other applications that might be on the computer.
So some of the differences also start to show some of their advantages. So when we talk about the servicing of the application, when you're talking about an MSI, you'll be very familiar with service packs, roll-ups, patches, hotfixes, that kind of scenario. If you are deploying Office today, there is that sequential thing that you must go by, because essentially there's a database that's transactional at the heart of the MSI install process, so there's a sequential thing that has to happen in order for a version of Office based on MSI to be installed.
So if any of you have downloaded the ISO or the install package, from volume licensing or from MSDN or whatever, of say Office 2010 with Service Pack 2, you might have noticed that whilst it says it's a slipstream install, it actually isn't per se. There's an updates folder in there that has the updates for the Service Pack 2 in it. So when you run that install with the MSI version, you're actually installing Office 2010 with no Service Pack, and then you'll see it actually has a little thing that says applying updates, and then it goes back again and loads the Service Pack back over the top of that, which kind of all just equates to more time and moving pieces.
So with Click to Run, has this restatement, you are only ever one update away from being having the latest version of the product. Because what happens is 365 Pro Plus will go and it will get the deltas from whatever version you're on and get the deltas for the version you want to be on. So one update and you're up to date. So that improves deployment time significantly from that fact alone. So that's something and it's true slipstreaming. That's how we do it. So that's another key advantage around the Click to Run. Licensing has changed, and fundamentally, again, it comes back to the way people use Office has changed. Used to be you'd license per device, which means if I have three devices, I need three copies of Office. These days, Office, because Click to Run is part of Office 365, it's user-based. So I, as a user, five PCs or Macs, five tablets, five smartphones.
Actually, no, that's changed recently. So now the use rights say that you can have five PCs or Macs, you can have five tablet devices, which at this point is referring to iPads, iOS tablets, and you can have unlimited smartphone devices, so long as you have a valid Office 365 credential that you can sign in with.
So again, there's a big change there in terms of how it's licensed and how users can consume it.
I think that's pretty key. For me, what I'm most passionate about is the technical reasons why Office 365 Pro Plus is great and why Click to Run is a great technology. But certainly, inside the enterprise customers that I talk to, even just the licensing construct has been enough to make a lot of large organizations go down the Office 365 Pro Plus path, just because you get those additional installs, essentially getting 10 times as many copies of Office for the price of one, or thereabouts.
And I've had a lot of exposure to government in the past 12, 18 months, and this rings really well, in the sense that, not that it's good grammar, but basically the fact that your equation is how many users, how many licenses, done. Software as asset management becomes a thing of the past. It's sorted, it's easy. So it's a great story, and we see a lot that resonating, particularly with licensing people and organizations, because their job gets very easy very quickly.
Yeah, and to that point, most of the Pro Plus discussions, it's interesting because you're having those discussions before that decision is made. Most of the time when I go in to talk to customers, it's like, oh, you already bought Office 365 and you're looking at rolling out the MSI? Okay, let me show you what you've actually already got access to.
Another difference is the activation. We talk a little bit about this later, so I won't go into detail now, but fundamentally, we're not using the traditional volume license activation methodologies. Now, what does that mean in terms of the rest of the stuff? So it's the same. So between Click-to-Run technology and MSI technology, you still need the right version of the OS. It's still the app-to-app integration. You still have automated deployment. You've still got the telemetry. If you haven't seen telemetry, unfortunately, we don't have enough time to cover it today. It's a fantastic capability in Office 2013. Just go Windows 8, type telemetry, and
I'll go hang out on the Office booth in the showcase afterwards. If you want to have a look at telemetry, I've got some demos here I can go through with you one-on-one.
So now one of the things, I guess, to point out also is that Click-to-Run being part of Office 365, it's a subscription service. So why go Office 365 subscription as opposed to an MSI? And the parallel I kind of take, I'm not sure how good it is, but here we go. When you buy a movie on a DVD from your local movie store, you are buying that movie and you get to keep it, but that's it. Okay, you've got Unmentionables 1 or something, I don't know, some movie, and that's what you get. And it goes in your DVD collection and okay, I've got it, it's fine. But if you compare it with, say, something like a Netflix or other sort of subscription service, if they didn't refresh the content and the value that you got on a regular basis, would you stay with the service? The answer is no. Well, maybe, but probably not. So 365 is a subscription service. We need to keep adding value to your subscription so that you stay with the service, because subscribe means easy on, easy off. So in the last 12 months alone, there have been a huge number of value adds in the 365 space that attach to Office, the actual Office client, that have not attached to the MSI version, essentially. So,
like what?
So the biggest one recently, I'm sure people are probably using it now, is Office for iPad. Now, that being a 365 benefit.
That's a good point.
That is That's probably the biggest and most well-known. There's Office for iPhone and Office for Android. There was the Power Map, which basically gives you some fantastic capabilities around being able to visualize geographically some data in Excel that were released. And this is going to keep going.
Interesting question is, has everyone actually seen the new Office apps on the iPad? Show of hands if you've seen them already.
Or if you haven't seen them.
Or if you haven't. Put your hands up if you haven't seen them.
All right. We'll quickly show you.
So yeah, I think we do. I think we should, because I think they're pretty cool. I happen to have an iPad here. Oh, no. Put the password back on. Okay, everyone knows my password now. I'll have to change that. So here we go. Look, I've got Excel right here on my iPad. I can use all the same templates that I can use on my PC or Mac device. I've got pretty good fidelity here inside the apps. There's no loss of fidelity also when I save this and then go back to my PC device as well. So even if there's a feature that isn't supported on this platform that runs on the PC, if I work on this spreadsheet here and then take it back again, it'll work just fine. I've got full support for formulas. I've got full support for graphing and mapping and everything inside Excel. By the same token, I also have PowerPoint and OneNote and Word. And like Ben said, we don't have a huge amount of time to do a kind of full feature demo inside the apps, but I did think, you know, maybe it's worth just pointing, you know, giving you a quick look at them so you can see. Personally, I've been really impressed with the way that these run. I think that, you know, the team have done a really good job at making sure that the experience on each device is kind of relevant to that device. So, you know, if I click here and try and add something in, I get a fairly fluid experience for the device that I'm using while still kind of being relevant for Office in particular. Anyway, once again, I can show you more of that later if you're interested, and I'll flick back over.
Cool. Okay. And also, just a quick note, because we are short on time, we hope to have some questions at the end. I'm going to be around, so if you want to have any questions to Yoni or myself, we'd love talking about this stuff, so please just come up and say, look, want to talk some more. So last of the sort of, I guess you could say, architecture slides, really, but this is key, is that in terms of click to run today, it's not new, it's actually coming up to a few years old, and in terms of its prevalence, it's now the majority of products actually use click to run. How many? Well, these are the two that don't use click to run. They still use MSI. The rest of the ways that these are ways you can buy Office. These are the two ways that you use MSI. All of the ones that are now sort of grayed, they are click-to-run technologies.
So the ones that aren't grayed, to be clear, the only way of actually getting your hands on those is through volume licensing, right?
Correct.
So if you go down to JB Hi-Fi or Harvey Norman as a consumer and you want to buy a copy of Office, you get a box product, right? It's got a DVD in it.
Yep.
Well, or you just have a pass.
Or a key, yeah.
So all of those are actually using click to run today. So nothing that you buy, the only way of getting a non-click to run install of Office Pro Plus, or of Office for that matter, is via volume licensing. And even then, we're going to try and talk you out of it.
So with that, we're going to focus on some of the deployment aspects of this. Now, we thought about what was a way that we could actually convey to you our experience in this area. I have a focus on government enterprise customers up north, and Yoni has pretty much every type and flavor of customer you can possibly imagine. And we thought the best ways to sort of explain to you stuff on this topic was to debunk some of the myths that are around this sort of product.
Right, we get a lot of common threads in the questions that we get asked when we go to talk to customers. Maybe some misconceptions around what Office Pro Plus is and what it isn't. So, you know, hopefully with the next kind of 40 minutes that we have left of the session today, we can spend some time trying to lift the covers on some of those.
Yep. So, let's kick off with an easy one. So, and some of these, again, we're trying to cater for everyone here. So, some of these you might know, some of these might be new to you. So, right.
Get meatier as we go along.
So, we'll blow through these pretty quickly. So, first of all, Office 365 Pro Plus is web only. I actually do get this question a fair few times. And they kind of...
Oh, it's in the cloud, so it must run in my browser.
Must be in the browser. Yeah. And fundamentally, when we're talking about 365 Pro Plus, we are talking about the desktop client on your machine. So what they're thinking about is Office Online, which used to be Office Web Apps. We've renamed it recently. And that's essentially Word, PowerPoint, OneNote, Excel in the browser.
It's cool too.
They're very cool, and there's a huge amount of focus on those products, but our session isn't about Office Online today. So fundamentally, number one, we're talking about a local desktop client. Next one, Office 365 Pro Plus can't be used offline because it is streamed. This usually, when you mention the word App V, customers usually get spooked saying, oh, okay, they have to be online all the time. What about my customers?
I'm on an airplane.
Yeah, or I'm in a mine or somewhere else that doesn't have connectivity. Does that mean I can't use it because it's streamed?
Air Force One flies over and jams my 4G signal.
If that happens.
It does.
The thing is that when we mention App V again, it's just the deployment technology that we have borrowed. When it's not the actual delivery. So what that means, it's about getting the whole Office client onto your local machine in the most efficient and fastest way possible. But it is still a local client, and when Yoni flew here, on his way here, if he wanted to, he could have used Office offline. So fundamentally, yes, it is a local desktop. You can use it offline. As you'll see, we talk about activation, as long as you're not offline for more than 30 days. So we'll talk a bit about that later.
And the key there is that once you have the MSI version and the Pro Plus version installed on two computers sitting next to each other, your average user won't actually be able to tell the difference between one and the other. They both say Word when you start them up. They both have exactly the same buttons in the ribbon, feature to feature, blow for blow. They're identical in every single technical way except for the way that they're licensed and activated and the way that they're installed. So with Pro Plus, it can run seamlessly side by side with other versions of Office, legacy versions of Office. The MSI version can't. That's it.
So the next one is we're starting to, as customers accept click to run, we're getting this one a little bit more, which is I need advanced skills. It's new. I don't understand it. I don't understand streaming. Never dealt with that, never dealt with these things. Just give me my MSI. So
right.
That's the first it's the first meaty myth, if you want to call it. So I'm going to flip over now to Yoni's machine.
I'll leave it on here for a second.
Okay.
That's what I was going to go for. So look, absolutely, if you do happen to have advanced skills, then don't worry, you can still deploy Office. You don't have to have only rudimentary skills to deploy Office, but if that is the case, then no problems there as well. So, like always, Office is installed with some kind of bootstrapper, some kind of installer. This one's called setup.exe, just to make you feel comfortable. It's controlled using a simple XML file that you can see a screenshot of here. And there are a couple of different switches that it runs with. Now, the key thing to keep in mind here, as you'll see as we go through these myths, is that I'm just going to talk to you about how the installer works, how you choose to actually execute that or make that happen on a one-to-one scale or a large scale across your entire organization. That's up to you. We'll get to that one in a minute. But in the first instance, let's just talk about the bootstrapper itself. We've got a couple of different options for using it. The first one is the slash download switch. I will switch over now. So we've got this slash download switch. Let me just get over to the correct directory here on my demo machine. So you can see I've got my setup.exe and I've got my XML file. This one's pretty simple. All it says is install Office. So I know the resolution's a little bit low. Sorry for that. I've got a blown up version that I'll scribble on in a second. But here's a very simple install that says we're going to download Office Pro Plus. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to use this to actually download the binaries of the latest build of Office Pro Plus from the cloud, Microsoft's Content Delivery Network, which is just Akamai if you're interested, and download them to my local machine. So, I have a mouse. Kind of makes my life easier. So, it's as simple as this. I run setup.exe, I use the slash download switch, and I call my download.xml file. And hopefully, with a bit of luck, there we go. So now my bootstrapper is downloading these installations from the Content Delivery Network. And here are the bits right here inside my on my local machine. So once I've finished downloading these, I can then distribute them out to my end user's computers, which is what we'll see in a second. So, okay, Yoni, this XML file that you're talking about, how does that work? So what I've done is I've just pulled it out here into OneNote to make it a bit easier for everyone to see. And you'll see that there are a couple of key sections inside this XML file. Probably the most important one is this little bit here, the add node. And this has a couple of key components to it. The first one here is this source path. Now, if I omit this source path from my XML file, then Office is going to behave as follows. It's going to look locally in the folder where I ran setup.exe from for a folder called Office, like the one that you just saw appear in my demo. And if it finds a build of Office in there, it'll install that. If it doesn't find a folder right next to the setup.exe called Office, it's going to go straight to the content delivery network, on the internet, should I say. Simple as that. If I don't want it to go to the content delivery network, because say I've got 10,000 computers that I want to build, I can specify a path here, and that path can be any SMB or HTTP location that I like. Inside this product node, I can pick the products that I want. There's Office Pro Plus in here. We also have Visio that can go in there as well. We have Project, and there's one more.
OneDrive for Business?
Yeah, there you go. And that one is called Groove Retail, right? Retail. That's if you just want to install the OneDrive for Business section. Everyone take a little note of that one there. We'll come back to him later. And below that, pretty much the only other thing you need to be worried about is this update node. This update allows us to either turn on or off the automatic updating functionality that we'll talk about in about 5 minutes. And if we do have that turned on, we can also specify a SMB or an HTTP location that we want to point our clients to for those updates. Last but not least, we have the display level, which just allows us to control how much information we want to put up on the screen of our end users whilst Office is installing. So hands up if you're familiar with previous Office installs with the Office Customization Tool, or OCT. Pretty much everyone, right? Okay, so one thing to think about here is the OCT allowed you to do two things. It allowed you to control the install time behavior of Office, so how Office would behave when we installed it and what components we would install. And then it also allowed you to configure what Office would look like once it was installed, settings, default save types. By the way, we've got all these slides we'll make available to you online afterwards. If you don't feel like taking photos of them all now, that's cool as well. But feel free. So you could you could control the install time behavior and then what Office looked like afterwards. Now with Office Pro Plus, we just control the install time behavior from here. So all of our configuration and lockdown and security and all that stuff continues to happen through group policy just like it always did. Cool?
So pretty straightforward. Now for your reference, we've got a couple slides in here that show you what the syntax is. Again, should go back to the machine. So the syntax is pretty straightforward and in terms of how you use it. Now, we've also provided you just a basic example here. So this one will try to, probably will download from the cloud because we haven't specified a source path. And it'll just show you what it looks like when it's some screenshots. Also, this particular example will do a silent install. So that's just for your reference. Right, next myth. I can't deploy or update Office 365 Pro Plus from on-premises with SCCM or other deployment software. So we're not being exclusive here. We're going to open it up to whatever deployment software that you currently use or want to use.
Right.
And the myth that we get is, I can't use it because it's all cloud-based, it's all streamed.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a user-based thing. All my users are going to have to, I'm going to have to send them an email saying, go to portal.office.com and click install software. And then when it installs, I'm not going to be able to control how it looks or when it happens or, my network bandwidth or whatever that might be, right? Mm. So, of course, this is not the case, as you will all know because of the last one that we just discussed. Because of the way that the Office Pro Plus, the ODT, or Office Deployment Tool, has been designed, you can execute that however you like. So any method that you might choose that is capable of remotely executing a elevated process on a Windows machine, no problems. If that means you're going to make a batch file that runs setup.exe/configure myconfiguration.xml and then go and click that on everyone's computer, cool. You want to put it in your logon script, no problem. You want to use group policy to run that as a startup script every time somebody launches a computer, maybe it's time to consider a new line of work, but hey, if that's what you want to do, that's cool too. And of course, if you've already invested in some kind of automated software deployment technology, be it SCCM, be it, you know, something third party like, you know, Arteris or Landesk or whatever, heck, if you've got SMS 2003 deployed in your environment, that's fine too. Anything that can remotely execute a process, setup.exe, away we go. Now, to demonstrate this, I'm going to use SCCM 2012 R2 just because that's what I've got here, but you know, it could be anything. And I'll also take the opportunity to demonstrate the new application model inside 2012 R2. So if any of you guys are deployment, you know, Windows deployment guys in here, you'll know that we now have this confusing option to pick between whether we want to make a package, whether we want to make an application. We previously just had packages. You can do both, that's fine. I'm just going to use the new fancy one just because the wizard takes twice as long and I feel like it. So here we go. And once again, I guess it's not too bad up there. You can see pretty well. So I'm going to manually specify the information here. I'm going to call this Office Pro Plus. Now, like most enterprise deployments that I'm involved in, at least, we don't want to perpetuate issues with people making their own custom database solutions. So I'm going to exclude Microsoft Access from that from this situation in this particular case. You might not do that, but I'm going to. So I add a new deployment type. I pick script installer in this case. I'm going to call it install Office without access. Yeah, yes, yes. I know there's one guy in the room who's upset with me because I'm removing access from the installation, but hey, that's how it is. So in this case, I'm just going to point to my source, and I know that the purpose of this session is not really to do a deep dive in SCCM, so I'm not going to go into too much detail, but you know, it definitely gives you guys an idea of how much is involved in actually doing a deployment like this. Okay. I'm going to cheat. No, that's fine. So something that is pretty important to note if you are using SCCM is that you probably don't want to wait for someone to be logged in to run these installations. So you want to use the install as system option, and you want to pick the option that says install whether or not someone's logged into the computer. Basic SCCM stuff, I suppose. And you can set all of your requirements and dependencies and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so it's as simple as that. I've now created an automated deployment of Office 365 Pro Plus inside SCCM, and you know, with a few more clicks, I could pick which users or which computers I wanted to push that out to, and they'd be working away. Now, of course, something that we alluded to earlier is that Office Pro Plus, because of the technology, the click-to-run technology, will coexist happily side by side with other versions of Office. So what that means is, in a large kind of enterprise situation, is that you could be, you know, perhaps quite blasé about your deployment. You could hit the all systems button and push it out, because in reality, if someone has a point solution, some line of business application, a particular spreadsheet or macro or something that isn't compatible with Office 2013 or Office Pro Plus, then, you know, all they need to do is close Excel and, or not even close Excel, just open that same spreadsheet inside Excel, the previous version that it was working on, because they can both live on the system at the same time. So it's a pretty good deployment story there. What we're seeing is that particular piece of technology allows us to really break down those deployment blockers that make large organizations spend a lot of time and a lot of money remediating problems ahead of the deployment. Whereas in reality, you know, the vast majority of solutions are going to work just fine. Let's just get the stuff out there and move on with the job.
It's all done. Excellent. Right, we'll move on. So, just conscious of time.
Oh, yeah.
So here's the next myth that we get a lot, which is, I can't actually, I've always put Office in my SOE image, I've always put it in my operating system image, I can't do that. Now, this is a quick one. Yeah, yes, you can. Here's just a screenshot of the TechNet article on how to do that exact point. It comes up a fair bit. There's only one thing you just need to remember when you're developing the image, is that when you're deploying the Office software, the 365 Pro Plus, to your reference machine, don't launch it don't try and use it, because the moment Office gets launched, it's going to want someone to authenticate and actually put their creds in. And if you then go and capture that, down the path someone gets that image, there's a 5-day grace period from when you first launch to when it goes into reduced functionality mode. Someone's going to basically get an ugly, okay, you're in reduced functionality mode, red bar, doesn't look good. Make sure that you follow these instructions and you'll have a slick, seamless Office in the image exactly as you want, without any issues.
Also, in 20 seconds or less, it's important to note that one of the biggest reasons that SOE administrators have to constantly update their SOE, you know, golden images or whatever it is that they're using, is because Office changes so regularly, and so we need to patch Office in our gold image. With Pro Plus and Click to Run, if you put the Pro Plus build into your image and then you have a task to just do an update, when you deploy that out to machines, they're going to do that binary delta level update, which is going to be a much more seamless process than having to rev that SOE gold image every month.
There we go. Another myth. Now, we sort of started to cover this, so again, sort of a little bit of reiteration, but key thing is a kind of control when updates are happening. In terms of, okay, I as an organization, I want to be N-2, or I want to have a lag of 4 weeks from when you deploy something so we can properly test it.
I want to have a test group, whatever it is.
Before I actually roll it out to the world, because we're a conservative organization and we're risk averse. Pretty much that's most of my customers. So fundamentally,
government, financial services, whatever, right?
So Yoni's going to show us how you can do that very simply.
Now, just to be clear, I kind of need half an hour to explain this process to you. I have 5 minutes. I'll do the best that I can. So let's just start with the most simple scenario that we can here. You know, Ben's sitting at home. He's on his home PC. Let's just write that there so we're all very clear. And he installs Office Pro Plus. With Office Pro Plus, there's a scheduled task that runs to update his version of Office, or to check for updates more specifically. Mm-hmm. It runs every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday morning at 3 a.m., give or take 4 hours. It also runs every time someone logs onto the computer and every time you open an Office application. So in short, it happens all the time. And what it does is it goes off and it checks the Microsoft Content Delivery Network, which is out there on the interwebs. Like I said, it's just a big HTTP server that sits on Akamai's content distribution network. And we check that for updates. We check it using an HTTP connection. And if there's a new update, great. We calculate a specific binary delta between the version we have and the version we need. We download that. It's pretty efficient for one computer that's sitting in Ben's house, right? Now let's say you're in an enterprise. You might not want your 10 or 20 or 5 or whatever, 1,000 computers all going out to the internet every morning, or basically all the time, like I said, and checking for new versions of updates. Your network, apart from the fact that your network administrator is probably going to kick your butt, you also won't have control over which version end up on what machines when. Because like I said, they're checking all the time. Whenever Microsoft publishes a new build of Office up to that content delivery network, bam, it's going to go onto those machines. So we have a bit of a different process in this scenario. And like I said, I'm going to talk high level because, you know, there's a bunch of different scenarios in this room and you're going to have to adapt this for what makes sense for you. But you can build your own little content delivery network using any combination of SMB and or HTTP location that you choose. I'll leave it open. That SMB path might be a simple file server that you set up. If you've got multiple sites, you might have a distributed file system, a DFSR, whatever it is. You might use the distribution points of whatever automated software deployment solution you use. I don't care. It's an SMB location, or it's some kind of a web-hosted web service, HTTP, HTTPS, if you feel like securing Microsoft's new builds. I don't know why you would. Anyway, and then you've got your corporate PCs that sit over here on your corporate WAN, and then they do the same thing. They get their new builds from there. The key to note here is that if you want to control what builds go out onto people's machines, you just need to control what builds go into this location. So you don't like a build, you just delete it. Finished. It's literally a file copy. And then how you do this is with that slash download script that we saw earlier. And you could automate that to happen every night, heck, every 5 minutes if you want. If there's no new build on the content delivery network, nothing will happen, mm-hmm. Right? So, okay, that's cool. I can control which builds go where, and I can also control where the builds come from, and that's with that source path tag that you saw in the XML earlier. But the third scenario we just called out was, what if I want to have a test group? What if I want to have some automated process to make sure that before, you know, everyone out there in my general population of users gets a build of Office, that it goes through a limited testing cycle of, say, some people in the in the business or people inside IT. So we see that pretty commonly as well, and it's, you know, it's entirely up to you how you handle that. What most people do is they create another SMB path here. They say, okay, this one now is the test environment. I don't know what's happening there. And this one is the prod environment, and then they have all of their prod PCs sitting here and looking at that one. Simple, right? You can do whatever you want. You can use RoboCopy to copy the files from the one folder in the same share to another, and then point people's PCs at the appropriate place. There's a group policy that allows you to determine which location people should look for their updates. Away you go.
Cool.
Best I could do in 5 minutes.
No, it's pretty good. And basically, the thing is, there's a lot of flexibility here in terms of
right. What
you want, where you want to get it from, when you want it deployed. So I guess one thing probably people are interested in is, from your customers, what's the sort of lag that you often see with from when we release a build
in the CDN
to when they actually want to honor to target?
Well, that's
how much
a good
testing
question.
They want to do?
Look, I mean, most of the time, I mean, you know, these are Office 365 customers. They might be using Exchange Mail or SharePoint or Link or something. So, you know, they want to start testing these new builds straight away so they can get those features out there. So what we usually see is that there'll be a test group, usually from the IT department, who are getting those builds, you know, within 24 hours. And then we will often have either a 2 or a 3 stage. So we either have test and prod, or we'll have IT test, business test, and then prod. So somewhere between, you know, 7 and 30 days is the usual lag that we see people, like, we want to wait at least a month before those end up in, you know, our general population.
And it's a pretty smart thing to do, really, because if there's any, it's
just
that remote
risk aversion,
case.
You know, like it makes sense, and there's no, you know, unless there's a particular vulnerability that, you know, we were looking to close with that build, in which case, you know, you would have an option to override that and say, get that out there now. 30 days is a pretty good.
And if anyone's asking how long can that be, in the support framework, 12 months is the limit.
Right.
So the limit of your lag, 12 months. Go beyond that, you go into unsupported territory. So just some quick summary slides. Actually, no, this isn't a summary slide. This is an alternative as well. It's only recently been released. Office click to run client.exe. So this is an alternative to doing updates with the setup.exe in the Office deployment tool. This is essentially a command line version of what you see in the application in terms of being able to control the updates. So you can actually use this to if you want to, I guess, enforce compliance on a particular version. This is the tool that you would actually deploy, again, with SSCM.
You could use it to downgrade if you had a group of users. You'd pushed out something to a particular group of users and you found afterwards that it was incompatible.
Yeah. And that is the biggest question. If you need to do rollbacks, this is your rollback plan. This tool here, this Office C2R client, is how you roll back to a previous build. And it's as straightforward as specifying the version, where to get it from, and it will do a reverse delta, if you want to call it that, to get it back to where you want it to be. So
also handy in scenarios where you might only be able to install patches during like an approved change window or something like that. So you could disable the automatic updating, which is just going to happen whenever someone turns their computer on, and you could use, say, SCCM or whatever to run the Office C2R client.exe process during that approved change window.
This is the summary slide I meant. So your options are automatic from the cloud, which means if you want to completely outsource the whole lot, you can do it. Most enterprises that I deal with prefer to keep their control. You can have it automatic from the network. And so basically you could use what Yoni showed you and have, okay, we're going to control which version, but we're going to have the update happen when Office wants to do it, but it's the version we specify because it's on-premise, and it's, you could say, that's our gold, approved, quality assured, whatever version that we want everyone to use, but still have it done automatically, so you don't need to push that out.
And that's really the recommended option. You know, that's the one that's going to give you the most dynamic and easy to support way of going about it.
If you like full control, then you turn automatic updates off, and it will only update when you either issue the setup.exe command again, because effectively an update is a version of an install, or if you use that new command line as well. So, next myth. Kicking on, this is kind of an interesting one. So basically, add-ins and plugins that I use today won't work stuff that I have with Office 2013, it's not going to work with 365 Pro Plus.
And I think that this myth is probably born a lot out of the fact that, you know, we've touted this as being, you know, based on some App V technology for the advantages that it gives us, but people have had some less than optimal experiences with previous versions of Office deploying them with App V. So certainly we've heard a bit of this. So let me set something straight on this. The statement at the moment is that the Office engineering team are yet to accept a legitimate bug report for a .NET, VSTO plugin, add-in, whatever, that functions correctly on the MSI version of Office 2013 and doesn't work in Office Pro Plus. Of course, that's not precluding things that didn't work in Office 2013 at all for some kind of forwards compatibility issue, hard-coded version, whatever it is. But if it works on Office 2013 MSI install, to date, we're yet to see one that didn't also work in Pro Plus. Function of the what we call just-in-time virtualization technology that is specific to Office, and you know, it should kind of put those that particular myth to bed. However, perhaps a more prudent question to ask would be, why are we rolling out .NET VSTO add-ins and plugins in the first place? And I'm aware that we have very limited time, but I do want to quickly allude to the fact that, you know, as we mentioned earlier, there are now a bunch of different platforms that we support Office on, right? How many? We already discussed it, right?
Eight?
No,
nine.
Nine, right? So we have Windows and PC, Windows and Mac, you know, PC form factor devices. We have three flavors of tablet, three flavors of phone, and of course the Office Online web apps that we referred to earlier. So of all of those nine platforms that we now run Office on, how many of them can execute a VBA macro?
One?
Two, actually, Windows
okay.
IT.
Oh, right,
Will.
Yeah.
But how many of them can run a .NET VSTO plugin?
One.
Right. So we've got nine platforms we support. So moving forward, you know, Microsoft needs to come up with something better to support the extension or the extensibility of Office on in a landscape where we now have all these different platforms. And of course, there's only one real place that we can turn to do that. Some kind of language that's going to be consistent across nine different platforms from a bunch of different vendors, and that is, of course, HTML. Right. Sorry, all you VBA, VSTO guys, you're now web developers. So we don't have a lot of time, but in, you know, 1 minute or less, I'm just going to really quickly show you the new app model for Office. Plenty more information about this on office.com/garage. But you can see we now have these new types of apps that are HTML and JavaScript based. They work on all nine of those platforms, and they're pretty cool. You know, so for example here, I can take this text. You can see it's automatically pulled it out of my document and into the app. And then I can translate it here into Spanish. And if I go and click my cursor here, or excuse me, maybe here, I can paste my newly found Spanish text right back into the document. Maybe. Okay, it's not going to behave for me right now. You take my word for it. Anyway, right. That's the new app model for Office.
All right. So we seem to start. We've started late, but looks like we have to finish on time. So we're going to have to rocket through these last last myths.
We've got 8 minutes. Plenty of time.
Excellent. So, I don't have control over Office on the desktops like I used to. Typically, this question is revolving around group policy. Where's the group policy for Office 365 Pro Plus? So, first of all, any group policy that you have for Office 2013 will work with 365 Pro Plus. Tick. Sorted. Okay. But we've got some extra stuff just for 365 Pro Plus about how it updates. So in addition to what we've talked about previously about how you control updates and using SCCM, now you've got group policy in your arsenal as well to actually go and control from where and all the other good stuff that you need from updates. So as you can see, there's more and more capability for controlling 365 Pro Plus using the tools that you know and love today. Right.
And of course, there's that one folder. It's under in your group policy editor, it's under administrative tools, computer management administrative tools, Office updates. That's where you can turn on the automatic updates and you can specify the location that they come from. But of course, except for that one folder that says updates, the rest of the entire Office ADMX template has 4,200 odd settings in it, is entirely consistent between the MSI version and the Pro Plus version.
Okay. So the next one, typically, it's not a myth anymore, but previously it wasn't possible. So call it out for what it is, but not able to prevent, typically, access. Now, it wasn't an accident that Yoni said access before. Number one request from customers is, we want to roll out Office, but not Access.
Followed closely by InfoPath.
Yeah, so that's not true. So I think we covered it anyway.
This is a pretty easy one. Now, so just to be clear, up until a little while ago, this was a challenge. So you might see some blog posts or some other content out there on the internet that's out of date that says that you need to either use App Blocker, which is a feature of group policy, to block people from running certain applications, or you need to sequence it with App V and then you could hide it. So that was the old guidance. We've now updated that just to make it really simple. And now all you need to do basically is to specify this tag here inside your XML, and you can put as many different applications as you want. So there's a TechNet page that has what they're all called. Most of them, the trick one is OneDrive for Business, which is actually called Groove. But apart from that, they're all pretty much called what they are, Excel, Word, whatever. You don't want people to write love letters. But yeah, you just exclude that, and then that icon will not turn up on people's desktops. Simple.
So there again, that's as of May this year.
It was a square.
Yep. All right, the last one is activation. So a little bit running close to the clock here. So what we'll do also is that even though the time may come up, we're going to keep talking, and you can leave when you need to, but I'll just start yelling if they turn the PA off. But activation is confusing and it's hard to understand. So little bit of theory here that we need to understand. First of all, in an Office 365 world, in a user-based subscription world, everything revolves around identity. Everything revolves around that user. That user, which we put in Azure AD as the identity for all of our services, that's what we attach a license to. That's what we attach a capability to. That's what we attach a service to. So that identity is the center of the universe. So fundamentally, activation involves that identity, and assigning a license to that identity or that user is how they get access to services. How does the end user then actually activate? All they need to do is enter their 365 credentials, their username and password, and they'll light up all the features in Office if it's in reduced functionality mode or if they want to get the 30 days. The thing is, it's not just restricted to 365 Pro Plus, it's also the way Office for iPad works. So Office for iPad, you can download for free from iTunes, but it's in read-only mode. In order for it to become write full functionality, you enter your 365 credentials. So that's the key thing here, is it's all based on the user putting their correct credentials in. So what does that mean? There is a couple of activities that occur, particularly with 365 Pro Plus, when you're starting up. So the first thing is, when the client starts up, there's an initial registration. And the thing here is that there's an authentication that occurs, and there's a sort of a data exchange of key bits of information, as you can see on the screen. But once that's done, initially, there's a heartbeat that occurs every day, at which point it's not exchanging credentials, it's just key information, key IDs, to make sure that user is still licensed and still able to use the service.
So we don't send the username and password up at that time, we just send the install ID or SMID of the installation up to the activation service.
So if someone leaves your organization and you disable that user, their license goes away, heartbeat's going to go, oh, I don't have this. Office comes down to reduced functionality mode. Easy compliance. Don't have to go chasing the software. In addition to that, at least once every 30 days, there needs to be, a product key a remap or a rework so that Office continues to work for another 30 days. So it's roughly every 30 days. Again, it's just a product key that sort of gets exchanged. So that's kind of how you had that rolling subscription, and also how Office knows whether it's allowed to be functioning or not. Key thing when you're talking about 365 Pro Plus activation in a network, these are the URLs that you kind of need to make sure are whitelisted. So if you use a proxy, make sure these don't require authentication. These discrete number of URLs, this is how Office is going to go and connect. But because it's running as a system account, it's not going to it's not going to be able to authenticate against a proxy. So make sure that they're whitelisted.
Your network administrator love you. The good thing we've also done here is taken some feedback on board and we've split them down to the individual services of Office 365. So if you're just deploying Pro Plus, we're not going to mix in there the URLs and IP addresses of, say, the Link Online service. We got to wrap this up. Yeah. We can, of course, stay down here at the front afterwards to answer questions.
So in the wrap-up, a little bit about identity. This is just kind of shows you the identity lifecycle within, and 365 Pro Plus uses this. I know we've run out of time, so that's as a backup, we put as a next slide a bunch of resources about how to find out more about identity. But fundamentally, get identity into Azure AD, attach a license to the identity, and you're sorted. Remove the license, the user then is not able to use 365 Pro Plus. Some related sessions that are worth going to, particularly around identity. And also how to get single sign-on for Office 365, so it's using ADFS.
Right, as you saw, I mean, a lot of the actual deployment and configuration stuff you're already going to be familiar with. It's an executable with some command line switches. Big deal. So from my point of view, at least, the key thing that you've got to get right with Office Pro Plus is the identity piece. So, I'd really encourage you to go along to those identity sessions that are happening later in the conference.
Make sure you also head along to Microsoft.com/garage. That is probably your number one entertaining and factual resource for everything 365 Pro Plus. So right. I think with that, thank you very much for your time and have a great tech ed.
Really appreciate everyone's time and we'll be down the front if you've got questions. Thanks, guys.